You might have recently read about an Australian magazine mixing up photos of two African-Australian models for one of its fashion spreads. Many people naturally called this out as racism, and they pretty surely have a point. But mixing up faces from another race is not unusual, and it actually has a name. It's called the other race effect. Dr. Amy Dahl is developing new training methods to reduce the other race effect in adulthood. She joins me now. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Miff. How are you doing?
What is the other race effect?
The other race effect is a phenomenon that we see across the world where people have more difficulty identifying people of another race to themselves. Now, what this tends to mean is that when you see two people who are of another race to yourself, they look more similar to one another, so you have trouble telling them apart. And if you were to meet them in another context later on, you might not be sure which one of them it was that you met the first time round.
So it is real, and it happens around the world. It's not just white Europeans who make this mistake.
Absolutely not. In Australia, we see people, Chinese students, coming here and making that mistake with our local white Australian students. We also see the same thing in the US with people having problems who are black recognising white Americans.
What are some of the real life examples of this?
Well, some of the examples that are really, really concerning around this are where people have been wrongly convicted of a crime, and eyewitness testimony has played a huge role in that, and particularly where it's other race eyewitness testimony. So they might have identified one person who has a really strong alibi elsewhere or is later exonerated with DNA evidence, but they've just mixed up the faces. So it can have some very serious consequences.
Absolutely. Is this something that happens at a stage in life, or is it just because of the way that you're socialised that you find it difficult to identify other people?
Well, so this is what's really exciting about the research that we're just putting out now. We used to know that up until around 12 months, the face recognition system was pretty flexible. And in fact, when you're about 6 months old, you can tell faces apart for not only different races, but different species. So not just human faces. And we tend to lose that ability by about 12 months. So the system kind of becomes set around then. What we've done in our research, though, is looked later across the lifespan at what kind of faces we're exposed to during primary school, high school, and then as an adult. And we found that that window does have some plasticity and some openness throughout primary school. So the diet of faces that we see when we're young can reduce the other race effect just through natural social exposure. So we don't need to do anything specific around it. We just need to be exposed more broadly.
Those early years are so important, aren't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. They really set it up for what kind of environment our brain is expecting us to have for our entire life. Yet we are now living in a world where our life as an adult can look quite different to what we're having in childhood, and that can cause some really big problems for us. We're seeing those here with the other race effect.
Of course. Amy Dahl is here from the Research School of Psychology at the ANU College of Health and Medicine. Amy, how long have you been studying the other race effect, and why did you want to get into this?
Okay, so I've been studying faces, including the other race effect, for about 10 years now. And, you know, as a psychologist, I've always been fascinated with what makes people tick and how we communicate. And, of course, faces are such a window into that communication. I look at a range of things, including the other race effect, how we recognise different identity people, say, in age-related macular degeneration, and emotion recognition, of course, which is one of our real cues to day-to-day interactions.
And what has your research found? What's been the most interesting thing that you've found in your research, or shocking thing?
Oh, the most shocking thing that I've found in my research. That's a tricky question. Look, going to some of my other research, one of the things that I look at is how we recognise whether somebody's genuinely feeling an emotion. And one of my findings a couple of years back now showed that we're not really good at recognising genuine emotions when we're leaving primary school. So it's only in high school that we're starting to develop some of those more sophisticated abilities. We often think, you know, a lot of these skills are developed in childhood, but it seems that, you know, there's a much longer window and ongoing basis for them too. So different timelines across different communicative skills.
If that's the case, Amy, can we recognise emotions on the faces of other races?
We do seem to be able to, but we might show some different twists around how we do that. So we might not pay as much attention to faces of other races, or we might be spending some of that attention trying to identify them. So we might miss some subtle cues. There's also almost like a different kind of dialect or accent across different cultures. So the way in which we express emotion can be a little bit different. We in Australia are very open to smiling very widely and very intensely, but for some other cultures, that's a lot more subtle. So they might look to the eyes for those cues and miss what's going on in the smile, or even see that as a sign of fakeness in some cases.
What can we do, Amy, to reduce the other race effect? We can get our kids to play with kids from different races or go to school with kids from different races. That's pretty clear. But what about adults? How do we teach adults to recognise other races?
Well, this is the big question, and this is something that our lab is just starting to look at now. We actually found some correlates between the window that's open for other race face recognition and second language learning. So we all know that kids seem to pick up a second or foreign language very quickly and much more quickly than we do as adults. As adults, we have to practice trial by trial, and our accent might never be quite right. We think it might be the same for learning other race faces. So we're working on looking at whether trial by trial feedback and intensive training can help to build that ability in adulthood. Because of course, this is an incredibly important skill, and for people moving into workplaces where they're interacting with a much more global context, that's going to be very important for employers too.
Fascinating research that you're doing, Amy. Thank you for sharing it with us today.
Thanks for having us on.
Amy Dahl there, Research School of Psychology, ANU College of Health and Medicine.
Mick Warhurst.
Weekdays on ABC Radio, online and on the ABC Listen app.